This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
What do you think about Connor Nolan getting the bump for game one here tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
I think it's fantastic, and I think it's the right move. Here's the thing. Some people will probably take it as, does this mean a level of disrespect towards the Central Connecticut State, whatever their mascot is, because I don't even know. No, I think, but it's a smart move, and it's a strategic move by Dave Van Horn, because he feels confident enough in the pitchers that he has. He say, hey, Connor Nolan, I know you're usually my third day starter, but let's use you first game, get us rolling off on the right foot, and we'll save our best guys for last.
Okay, so you just kind of play it out and try to understand the format. That's the first thing you got to understand. It's critical you win your first two games.
Yep.
So Central Connecticut State, you ought to be able to beat a team of that level coming out of what, the Northeast Conference, the NEC.
Mm-hmm. And just a reminder real quick on them, they're 0-10 in postseason play, and they have a final score of 21-4 average.
So, point being, the way this format works this weekend, if you win the first two games, beat Central Connecticut State, and then you beat the winner of the Cal TCU game, one of those teams has to, Cal or TC would have to come back, win their game if they came out of the lose, and then beat you again twice. Beat you Sunday night. They're going to have to win a game on Sunday afternoon, beat you Sunday night, and then turn around and beat you again on Monday if, you know, the weather doesn't change the schedule or anything. Winning these first two games is critical. So And that's the way you win a regional. You win game one, you win game two, and then somebody's going to have a fourth or a fifth arm to get to you. Not going to happen. You know, so that's the whole reason you're planning it this way, is Connor Nolan, go out here and take care of this 1-4 matchup. We'll throw the ace and Campbell against the team that wins this 2-3 matchup in this regional. And then we're in the catbird seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole logic for those that may or may not get the way the format rolls for this weekend. Because then someone's going to have to use their, at that point, third arm, right? One, two, three. Yeah, third arm, second game of the day on Sunday night to beat your number two guy in Wicklander. Advantage Arkansas. But you got to go out and take care of business.
Yeah. You know? And I think on Friday especially, listen, I'm not trying to have anyone overlook anybody, but that one should just be a run-of-the-mill. You go out there, and as long as you just play your game, play your basic game.
Hit the ball.
Yeah. Get runs.
Hit the ball.
Score.
Yeah. They still determine the winner with runs.
That's right.
So,
because you're going to get the best pitcher that Central Connecticut State has. And right. If you can just go out there with Connor Nolan, get him some confidence too going forward into the postseason, get him into a rhythm. And like you said, Tommy, starting 2-0 is, to me, the most pivotal thing that you can have in this entire postseason. Like, that, it has to happen that way for you to feel comfortable enough about and confident enough about your postseason too.
You know, the next weekend in Super Regionals, it's just like a regular SEC weekend, three-game weekend. Then you get, if you're fortunate enough to get to the College World Series, it's just two regionals is all it is. Just extended over a longer period of time in Omaha. Same format back in Omaha. When you're first two, you're in the catbird. Somebody else has got to come and knock you off twice before you get to the championship round. So, you know, now you won't have the luxury, obviously, at that point of throwing off, you know, throwing your number three pitcher, your right. Sunday guy, on day one. That's just not the way it works. But, you know, it's the same kind of format in that half of Omaha, the first half of Omaha.
So let me ask you, in most cases, or at least in the ideal cases, you will have it set up to where those first two games, you'll throw your two best pitchers. You'll throw Isaiah Campbell and you'll throw Patrick Wicklander.
Right.
How confident are you in those two individuals in those first two games of these regionals, super regionals, even heading into Omaha?
They're probably not the best 1-2 matchup in the country, but who is? I mean, honestly, I can't tell you who's got the best one, but I'll put Campbell up against anybody in the country, even though he didn't make the SEC, the all SEC team joke, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 matchup. Now, when you get to the College World Series level, everybody's got two good arms. Arkansas is going to have two good arms if they're fortunate enough to get there. They've got a lot of baseball to play. He's got to take care of business tomorrow at 1. You get a little longer rest than your opponent that's got to come back and play you Saturday night, who's going to have, you know, 4 to 5 hours less rest. And then you win that game. Somebody's got to turn around Sunday and beat you twice. Yeah, that's not easy to do.
No, it's not. I guess if you were really looking at it,
that's just to get a chance to win it on Monday.
Yeah, and I guess the way that you would have to look at is the best reasoning behind what could be a weakness of Arkansas is, of course, going to be how the bullpen performs.
Well, isn't it critical for Connor Nolan? Guys, you got to get him at least into the sixth, and boy, the seventh inning would be like
the ideal
bonus.
Yeah,
if you could get him 7 full innings, that would that'd be huge. A, you rest your arms out of the bullpen. B, you know, it's solid starting pitching's the key. You can't be going to the bullpen in the fourth inning and have a lot of success this weekend. It's going to be difficult unless the bullpen is just on fire this weekend.
Yeah, and it goes back to why I feel like it's important to have the confidence in those 1-2 punches that you have with your starting pitching.
Yep.
Is because you're going to have to rely on them. I'm not saying to carry you, but you're going to have to rely on them to give you at least over half the game in. You can't just have them going out, like you said, Tommy, coming out of the fourth inning, and then they're having to go to the bullpen, and not only are they using up the bullpen and the guys that they have already, but then once you get, as we've seen, even in here as of late in the past couple of weeks, when they get to a certain point in that bullpen, it gets a little shaky at times. It's very inconsistent. I mean, guys like Kostyshyk, there's been times where he's looked great. But there's been times where he's looked really bad, and there's been times that other guys as well. So it's just a matter of making sure that your pitching is as good as it can possibly be, being strategic about it, which I know Dan Van Horn's going to be. If you're strategic about it and you make sure that you get the guys that need to get in there and go up against the type of competition that they need to go up against, it's just about getting out of this weekend and getting out of this weekend unscathed. Then you can worry about your super regional, but looking at the matchups and reading about these opponents that they're going to be more than likely playing, whether it's Cal or TCU or whoever, Arkansas, they're the one seed in this. So obviously they're the better team than all these teams. But baseball's funny, man. Baseball can be a funny sport where you can have one day a pitcher that's just on fire from the other team. You can have a day where the bats aren't going for you. I mean, anything can happen when it comes down
to baseball.
Yeah. So you never want to put guarantees on it. But as far as matchups go, as far as on paper, Arkansas is very, very much more favored in this because they're one of the best teams across the board when it comes to this. The thing I'm going to be interested about is Cal because they have one of the best players in all of college baseball. In fact, a Golden Spikes Award finalist. So that may be the interesting game that everyone's going to be watching for. But yeah. Either way, it all starts tomorrow night, though.
We got Dave at 8 or 8:15?
8:15.
8:15, so not top of the hour. So be ready for that in hour 3. We got lot to get to, and then that means Richard Davenport is at 8:30 this morning with us. So recruiting Thursday, a lot to talk to him about, I guess more basketball related, but I mean, there's a lot of football stuff going on. I was in the gym yesterday late, and they had Feinbaum up on one of the monitors. I saw Chad Morris. I couldn't hear what they were saying because they didn't have the sound on for that TV, but
did you not read the subtitles?
they did not have the subtitles on.
Oh, well, then they're doing it wrong then.
I was too busy running the 7th and 8th mile of my cardio workout.
how's bragging camp?
Well, I'll be lying camp.
Either
kinda
way.
Kind of easing my way back into it after about 10 days out of the gym. But I saw he was on with Feinbaum and it looked like a gorgeous setup there. On the back deck of that restaurant there by the Hilton.
So. Yeah. Well, I know that we're talking about SEC meetings, but I also saw that at SEC Media Day, they'll announce where the next year's location will be for Media Days. Why not make it Destin?
Right. Speaking of basketball, they also gave out the basketball schedule for conference play for next year. So I guess we can look at some of that as well.
Yep. We're going to dive all into that stuff.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by the all new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown Hogs! Holy hog!
Razorback basketball schedule as far as their conference opponents and where they will be playing those conference opponents came out. No dates or anything, but at least made the announcement. And don't worry, folks. Yes, you are playing Kentucky at Bud Walton next year. You only play them once. For some reason, still gets frustrating because I don't think
you really want to play them twice.
Well, yeah, of course. Why not? I mean,
maybe. I mean, you hope to get to the point you want to play them three times.
Do it twice in the regular season, make it in the SEC tournament.
SEC tournament finals.
Yeah, that would be nice too. But
not in the tournament. Tournament finals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you want to play them at. So, but it came out, and here's the home games that Arkansas will have in conference play. They will play Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. And they will travel to Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. And to give everybody an idea of what you're looking at as far as home and homes go, LSU, A&M, Missouri, Mississippi State, Tennessee are the five teams you will be playing home and home against next year.
All right, let's go over those again. Just home games again. Home conference games.
Home conference games will be Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt.
I heard a lot of teams in there I would expect to be NCAA tournament teams.
Well, you could probably believe that Auburn will be. Kentucky for sure will be. LSU, with all the players they have coming back this year, and you know, Will Wade's going to be back, they'll probably be a tournament team.
Tennessee, didn't you say Tennessee there?
Tennessee. Yeah. I think Mississippi State will probably be at least right in there. Reggie Perry decided to come back to Mississippi State, so they'll be right there in the mix. And who knows what Texas A&M is going to do now that they have now they have a new coaching staff, because there's a lot of turnaround that could happen there.
The only one I heard that I said absolutely not would be Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that you can go from 0-18 to the tournament, but
and
maybe.
Even South Carolina, they were pretty bad last year, too.
Yeah, but Frank Martin is
you never know with
Frank
him.
Martin.
Yeah, but a lot of winnable games there, but yeah, like you saw,
I hear a lot of tough games there. You know,
well, like you said, though, you're going to have some teams that are going to be NCAA tournament caliber teams, and at least you're getting them at home for the most part, because as far as the teams that you only play on the road, which means you don't get a home return trip, you're going to play at Florida, at Alabama, at Georgia, and at Ole Miss.
I keep getting reminders to renew my basketball season tickets, which I intend to do. But, I mean, a lot of people are probably getting these reminders that haven't done it. The deadline's like June 14th coming up.
That's what it says.
Getting this out to the fans who are trying to make a decision with Musselman. Now, you know, the home conference games that are coming. This is good information because the university, you know, I think they're struggling with football renewals. Still struggling pretty mightily from what I can tell and what I've been told. This I bet they're doing a little better with the basketball percentage-wise. Obviously, the numbers are different because of the capacity of the arenas. So, having this information, new coach, I think there's a lot of – there's probably as much energy or heat around basketball right now as there is anything on the Hill.
In fact, I would even make the argument that when their first – whether it's the exhibition game or if they actually decide to do Midnight Madness, which I'm really hoping for, but the first official game of the season, you'll probably see – a bigger crowd than what Bud Walton's had for their normal first game of the season against, you know, whoever, Canisius or whatever team they ended up playing. But, you know, that's where the excitement is at for basketball fans. And even when this was mentioned out there and was put out on social media as far as what their opponents are going to be in conference play, the reaction from fans was just all in excitement. Like, can't wait, can't wait to get there, can't wait to see Kentucky play, because – That's what I'm hoping. They haven't come out with the dates or anything, but man, wouldn't it be nice to have Kentucky on a Saturday at 1 p.m. on CBS like it used to be back in the good old days? I mean, that would be nice, but beggars can't be choosers at that. I just hope it's not a Tuesday night game or something like that.
I don't, you know,
that makes it difficult.
Yeah, I mean, not an 8 o'clock start, you know.
Right, yeah. Those are tough, no matter what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
So I like the matchups.
Yeah, you'd like to have a Saturday afternoon. You don't get many Saturday night. There's a few. But a Saturday night game, woo wee!
You could tailgate for that one, if assuming people wouldn't want to tailgate in the middle of February, assuming that's when the game is going to be. But I'm sure there'd be some people out there that are doing it. But and also at that point in time, again, I don't know the schedule, but in most cases, Arkansas has usually played Kentucky towards the end of the conference schedule,
usually in late February.
Yeah. So by that point in time, you know, if the Razorback basketball team is going to be set up to where they're very successful playing for an NCAA tournament spot, it's going to mean that much more. And that's another thing, too, where people are at. What do you really expect? First off, we don't know what this team fully is going to look like because Eric Musselman is continuing to recruit, continuing to bring in some transfers. So there's no telling what the roster will actually look like once it's finalized. But when that happens, there's not trying to have an expectation or trying to have a reasonable outlook on what this team is going to be capable of is going to be a difficult thing because there's going to be so many new parts to it. New coaching philosophy, new players across the board. You're going to have a lot of new starters. It's just, it's going to be one of those things that you're excited about, but you're also cautious because you don't know what to expect out of them. You don't know how good they're going to be. You're going to be hopeful, but you don't know what it's going to play out. And you also don't know what the conference is going to look like at that point either.
Yeah. Things are starting to take shape though. You've got the staff in place. You're seeing a lot of what's going on with recruiting, this transfer portal deal that we've talked a lot about yesterday and in earlier days in this week. We're going to spend some time with that with Richard later in the show, has really changed the kind of player you can bring in. Used to, it was high school kids or JUCO transfers, and now it's just a whole different ballgame out there and will help a transition like we're seeing with Arkansas going into a new era, a program that it's not a rebuilding job here. Mike Anderson certainly did not leave this thing in shambles like Chad Morris inherited a football program that was just a mess. Now, this wasn't a mess that he took over, but he had to upgrade the roster. No question about that. And it's just easier to do. I think you can expect a quicker turnaround with basketball today than you could 5 or 10 years ago, certainly. And certainly what you can, even with the transfer portal and all those options for football, even with what you can expect Chad Morris. I mean, I think we've come to grips with the reality. Chad Morris needs this season and maybe one more to really kind of figure out, oh, I see the picture he's painting. Now the edges are cut in, and yeah, okay, now I'm starting to understand a little more. Hopefully by the end of the third year, you're getting that. I don't think it's going to take 3 seasons for Musselman to do that just by the nature of the differences in the sport and how you can obtain players now.
Well, you also appreciate Eric Musselman's aggressive nature because he, as soon as he got to Arkansas, it wasn't, all right, let's feel things out. Let's see how this roster looks. Let's see how things go this first year.
There was no wait and see approach.
No, it was hit the ground running. All right, here's what I see. I've watched film on these guys. I've seen them practice. All right, I'm going to need this guy and this guy. And geez, he just immediately, when he got on board, started saying, this is what I want my team to look like. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that you can appreciate as a Razorback fan, the aggressive nature of not only trying to make the necessary changes to be a good team this upcoming season, but to also be a coach that where you come in and you understand, I want to win. I want to win now. And that's what this fan base wants too. So do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah. And he kind of had to do some of that with the live periods and the way the NCAA has set up the summer. They're so much more involved in the scheduling of how the live periods and these EYBL, AAU, all these summer events where coaches can go and watch. The NCAA has a much larger hand in not just the scheduling, but the operation of a lot of these things and the certification, because all these events have to be certified for these coaches to watch during these live periods. So he had to hit the ground running because, hey, these are the live periods that are coming in days. And that's one reason we just saw the staff really get finalized last week.
It's almost weird because it seemed like he was adding more players at a faster rate than he was coaches there for
He didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, you couldn't stop to find coaches because you had these limited periods of evaluation you had to go maximize that were right here, almost from the moment he got started.
So let me ask you this, because obviously there hasn't been a single ball dribbled in a real action game yet for Eric Musselman and the Razorbacks, but from the point he was hired, the day it was announced that he was hired as new head coach to right now, I mean, are you kind of feeling the same way about him? Are you more impressed by him, by what he's been able to do just in this short period of time? I mean, has anything changed from when he was hired just roughly a month ago to now?
Oh, I think we've all gotten more excited. I think we've all, as we've gotten to hear him speak, gotten to meet him, gotten to evaluate the moves and the decisions he's made, I'm more excited today about the direction the basketball program is headed in than I was the day he was here. Because there's less unknowns. So, yeah, I think the excitement. Here's the question for me. Let me make this a poll question. Are you more excited right now for Razorback basketball and the direction of that program, or Razorback football and its direction? Which one are you more hopeful in to have success in the short term, football or basketball?
Jeez, I don't even know if that would be a
both with relatively new coaches.
I think basketball would be a landslide
because
right
you
now.
Got the new coach and there seems to be more excitement. But I still don't. I mean, I can tell you, I don't feel a lot of heat at times around the football program.
Mm-mm.
And we were talking about season ticket renewals a minute ago. You know, when you get these 3D seat assignments and you can go on and try to improve your seats, you know, within the classification your donation allows you to move. But you see the stadium map and it's color coded based on availability of consecutive seats together with the number you have. All right. So I've got two sets of four. So here are the sections you can get four seats together in this stadium. And if you want to sit in certain ones, you got to upgrade your giving. Let me just say there's a lot of green on that map when I was on there a couple weeks ago. I think football season ticket renewals are in trouble. And Ty sent me an article yesterday, and Democrat Gazette did an article about giving down to the foundation. I think some of that's a little bit skewed because of they had the capital improvement program with the stadium. But I think there's the lack of winning in football has created some issues there. I think there's more people excited right now about basketball than there is about football. And it's not just because Musselman's a year newer than Morris. I think people are more hopeful that a Sweet 16 and a Final Four and all these things are quicker on the horizon with basketball than football just competing for the West.
Well, you could even compare it to when Chad Morris was first hired and leading up to where he hadn't had that 2-10 season yet.
Right.
There was still, I think that there was some excitement a little bit, but there still wasn't just all in, yeah, I can't wait to see what this team can do. I mean, there just wasn't that. And I think a lot of it just had to do with the name recognition. People didn't know who Chad Morris was. But in this case...
But did you really know who Eric Musselman was?
I mean, I knew him as the fact that he had a top 10 team for the majority of the season. So
he had more accomplished in his career because, as you said, he had a team ranked for the last couple of years. Had won the Mountain West tournament 3 years in a row, made the tournament a couple years in a row. So his resume was certainly more accomplished.
Right, and that's how people looked at it, and I think that's where the excitement came from.
Greg, watching on our live stream on Periscope, says, or watching on YouTube, actually, says Musselman really was left lane hammer down.
Yeah.
The real deal.
Yeah. I mean, he stepped on the gas as soon as he stepped on campus.
It's been all gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
No question.
And you're hoping that carries over and translates onto the court in this upcoming basketball season. Hasn't had a single game played yet, but certainly the excitement seems to be surrounding the basketball program a lot more than other programs, that is for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer, with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him! Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house!
We have friend of the show, Officer Breeden, in with us, and he's been a busy man, obviously, with all the flooding that's been going on.
I mean, this started, over a week ago with the tornado on Saturday and the winds that moved. How much rest have you had in the last 10 days?
Not a lot, but I've had sufficient.
You even had a day off?
No.
Oh, okay. I think so.
Yeah.
I was going to be shocked if you'd said, yeah, I'd had Tuesday off.
No, there's
no days off right now.
But that's okay. That's okay.
All right, so the river has crested. Give us a little update. River's crested. So it's probably not going to go any higher, but this rain we've had the last two nights is probably not helping things. But the good news is all the roads, all the bridges, let me not roads, wrong word, all the main bridges in the river valley still open, and it looks like no real threat of those having to be shut down. Midland, now Garrison Avenue is obviously still closed and will be for a while, but Midland, 540, 59, all still open.
All still open. Of course, there is a concern this morning about the levee. Just east of Van Buren, and the Corps of Engineers is monitoring that very strictly, and I'm sure they're going to make sure that everyone's safe in case there is a breach. So they are concerned about it, but no immediate danger. The biggest danger now is traffic, and I know everyone wants to see this historic flooding, and if you're out driving around, you have to be careful. I mean, Highway 59, for example, in the last 24 hours, we've had 3 head-on collisions on that bridge.
Wow. And those probably aren't at 20 miles an hour. Those are...
No, they're not.
40, 50 mile-an-hour collisions.
That has resulted in 5 injuries, and significant injuries in a couple of those. So people really need to be careful. I understand. We talked about turn around, don't drown. That's critical. That's important. Mm-hmm. Don't drive through the water. the barricades are there for a reason. But you just have to be careful. There's a lot of traffic in places you normally don't see a lot of traffic.
You still not killing snakes?
No, we're relocating.
I don't understand that. Are you telling me that's a law?
Well, it's the game.
You said yesterday that was a law.
Yeah, there is. You're not supposed to kill reptiles.
Okay,
in the state
not
of
supposed to, or it's against the law.
Well, you always have the right to protect yourself and your property.
Well, you can Tommy, you can relocate them. You can just relocate them to Snake Hell.
Relocate them into a garbage sack.
Yeah, you can relocate them in that regard. Yeah. So,
I mean, I understand there's king snakes and rat snakes and all these things that eat bugs and spiders and other snakes. Tell me the purpose that a water moccasin or a rattlesnake serves us, other than maybe some good boots out of a rattlesnake. Tell me what purpose that's going to serve me.
I'll leave that to the biologist to explain that. There are professionals in that area, and they can explain that much better than I.
So if someone was killing snakes in their yard along the river, that's, I guess, illegally firing a firearm within city limits. Are you going to really mess with them right now over that?
No.
Good for you. That's the kind of answer I wanted to hear.
No. I would be wearing out
a 410. I would be responsible and use a 410 rather than a 12 gauge, but...
Well, remember, you can protect your own property and you can protect your own self. So, no, we're not looking for that. We don't want
good snake is a dead snake is a good snake.
The thing I'll have to say is we don't want people shooting around houses. And
no.
It's firearm safety always, not just now, but always.
Shoot now, ask later when it comes to snakes.
Sounds like Tommy has a vendetta against snakes here.
Don't like them.
Oh. Yeah, and the other thing...
Isn't it more dangerous to relocate these things than just to end it?
Not for me.
Of course it's
you
not.
Are just...
That's why we have...
just a bad dude.
No, we
you're
just...
a bad dude.
No, I have a long pole. It catches them. You put them in a bag.
I got a short gun, you know?
But...
I'll just shoot them with that.
Speaking
that
of which,
shotgun.
You know, we have people putting boats in this backwater for whatever reason. I guess they just want to see the flood and...
Well, that's dangerous.
Thanks to our friends at Arkansas Game and Fish, they are patrolling these floodwaters and trying to keep people out of here. So if they see you, they will be requesting you to leave the area.
Yeah, because the flow is at what, 475,000, 500,000 cubic feet a second?
Yeah, it's somewhere around 10 times the normal limit.
Right.
Yes.
Good grief.
I know I wouldn't be a good enough boatmaster. I mean, why would you do that? It ought to be criminal if you took your kid out on something like this, for sure. If you're an idiot and want to take yourself out, that's one thing.
You know, and unfortunately, we've seen people park on the side of Highway 59 and take their small children to see the floodwaters. That's dangerous. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Just stay away from the floods. Just
stay
do that.
Away. Hey, how about this? Stay away from stupidity.
Yeah.
That's hard for some people.
I mean, good grief. It's just it's nauseating. But, you know, it's also one of these things that this area doesn't have to deal with very often, so... They'll not really know how to handle
it. As Officer Breeden says, you can't fix stupid, but you can give it a court date.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. So we'll appreciate you hopping on with us today, as always, and appreciate the help you give us and the updates you give us on the flood, though, too.
Keep everybody safe out there.
Yeah.
You writing any tickets right now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I figured you were.
For going around the barricades.
I'm telling
they deserve
you,
a ticket.
They deserve at least a ticket.
See, the sign says road closed. There's an arrow saying detour. And you still choose to drive around the barricades.
Mm.
Yes, I have to give you a court date for that one.
Is that one of the meaningful conversations?
We do have a meaningful conversation about your driving habits and a piece of paper to give you further instruction.
So
on
the judge can
date.
Have a further discussion with you. Huh?
Yeah. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Right. Well, appreciate you hopping on with us and keeping everybody
much.
Safe. Appreciate
why would you even think? Why would you even think driving around a barricade is a good idea?
I wouldn't, you know, so I don't.
When you know that there's 8 feet of water down that road.
Well, I usually feel like that when police barricades are up, it's a good reason.
I mean, you've already had to pull one unfortunate body out of the water.
Right.
You don't want two.
No. That is, you never want to check that box anytime.
No.
No.
Of a fatality.
No, that's insane. So, well, appreciate you hopping on with us, Officer Breeden.
Good Thanks, to see sir. You. Yeah. Glad you're safe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's just asinine how people are.
I mean, you know right now the road's not closed to fill potholes, you know.
Right.
The road is near the river is closed because there's feet of water and people drive around barricades. I don't get it.
I don't either. And I mean, that's how someone lost their life, actually. What was it, yesterday or the day before that they were
driving
around?
Charleston.
So, yeah.
Drove into, I think, Officer Breeden, he was on the news. I think he said it was about 8 feet of water.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Just don't do these things, folks. I don't know how else I can explain it to you.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a shortcut and a detour, and that's through the water is not it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't know if they're getting to work or whatever, but surely your bosses and everything would understand that you were avoiding the floodwaters.
Well, everybody's frustrated. Everybody's on edge. And I can't, it's hard for us, John, to put ourselves in the mindset, you know, with some folks that are, everything they've worked for is being washed away right now. Huh? Everything they've spent their life working for, their home, you know, is being destroyed by these currents and these waters that are,
I understand.
Hard to understand that mindset.
No, but I understand that. And you have to, but you can't, it's not worth risking your life over.
I understand. Exactly. But you also know there's no insurance in a lot of cases, and you're going to be depending on the federal government to help you. That's a scary thought.
I would say they usually come through in the clutch, right?
because some people have flood insurance, many don't.
Yeah.
And so you're hoping FEMA and you're counting on the federal government to help get you out of this situation.
Mm.
Now think about that.
That may be the scariest thought of them all right there.
That's sobering right there.
Oh.
That's better than 9 cups of coffee.
Oh, jeez.
The federal government's here to help you.
Never want to have to deal with that. Go back to the phone lines. Rod is in I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Chad Morris, he's got a bigger road to hoe than Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman, what I see from him, man, he had a hard time slowing down just to get off the interstate to get into Fayetteville. I think he's going to turn around real quickly. I hope he's turning us into like the college version of Golden State. You know, I'd like to see that. Chad Morris has got at least another recruiting class to go, given 3 years. We won't have to worry about that. That's Hunter's problem, and you know he likes to take care of that kind of problem,
right?
Apparently, so I got no fear of that. And don't drive around barricaded. No,
yeah.
I won't do that because I hear I float, but you know I won't drive around anyway.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in the head skipper of the Razorback baseball team, Dave Van Horn, here on the Morning Rush. Dave, really appreciate you joining us, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Hey, and thanks for coming on with us. I'm just curious about this, obviously, with the regional coming up. You've been here before. You've gone through the postseason before, Coach. And when it comes to this weekend, do you treat this weekend as far as your routines and how you approach it differently than what you do in the regular season? Do things change? Do they stay the same? Just how do you handle that compared to what you do in the regular season in these weekends?
We try to keep it as close to regular season routine as possible. Obviously, game times could be different. There's either a game before you or after you most of the time, so everything's not quite as easy, getting around, access, different things, because it's NCAA run event. But for the most part, it's just kind of business as usual.
Now, you've made the decision to go with Connor Nolan for game one and reserve Isaiah Campbell for the second game. And in previous regionals, you've went with your normal Friday starter, your number one pitcher in game one. What led you to viewing this regional a little bit differently in your pitching rotation?
Well, I feel like that we have the luxury of doing that. This year, it seems like, Campbell obviously has gone first every weekend. But Connor Nolan's been throwing the ball extremely well. We've had a little more time to rest. Sometimes, you're playing all the way through the last day of a conference tournament. It gives guys short rest if you wanted to throw somebody different. In this case, Connor hasn't thrown for almost a week. He's thrown extremely well his last 3 or 4 outings, especially he's thrown really well at home. He's a strike thrower. It just kind of added up to us. Central Connecticut is a very right-handed hitting team, so we just felt good about it.
Speaking with Dave Van Horn, head coach of the Razorback baseball team right now on the Morning Rush. Coach, now that you had a chance to look at these teams that you're going to be facing in this regional, how do you feel about the draw that you got? What do you make of the matchups that your team will be facing this weekend in Fayetteville and just the opponents themselves?
Well, I think that our regional, we've got a couple of, obviously, Power Five conference schools, big-name schools with TCU and University of California. They've been through the battles that we have as far as playing the competition that we've played most of the year. Central Connecticut, they're a different as far as, you know, who they play, because you look at the schedule and their opponents. But what they've done is lately they've played well. They have an experienced pitching staff, juniors and seniors, and not overpowering type arms, but guys that know how to pitch. And they really don't walk anybody. Just looking at their numbers, they've done a great job of making teams earn what they get. And, you know, the field's tough. It's hard to say. You know, it's one weekend, who's going to play well, who's not. A lot of things go into it. You know, we don't know anything about, you know, the health of other teams. We've had some sickness in our going around a little bit. We're starting to get healed up. We've had four or five of our, you know, guys that are in the lineup all the time and pitching have had, you know, some sickness that we're trying to get them full strength. They're not quite there yet. So it's just a lot plays into it. It's about timing, and hopefully we'll, you know, we'll play well this weekend and start getting it rolling again.
Yeah. Part of that obviously is the hitting that really was probably not up to the level you wanted to see at the SEC tournament. Now that, you know, you're back, academics are behind you, graduation's done, it's really, you know, 100% baseball. Anything been different in the routine to get ready for this weekend and maybe get the hitting back to the level that certainly has led to the success and the number five seed nationally overall heading back into this weekend?
Yeah, I think offensively, you know, there's always reasons for everything, and you got to give Texas A&M and Georgia and Ole Miss and some of these teams that we faced, their pitchers were incredible. I mean, you look at the games in the SEC tournament the first 3 days, scores were 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. You got guys throwing 93, 94, 95, all the way up to 98 miles an hour at us. And, you know, we hit some balls hard. We struck out too much down in College Station. It's been a little bit of both. I think great pitching and guys that are going to probably pitch in the big leagues, to be honest with you. Four of the five starters we saw this past week, I would say they're going to pitch in the big leagues if they stay healthy. And we were a little tired, no doubt about it. We felt like our guys were starting to get a little tired, especially in the tournament. You can kind of see it. I think rest has been good. That's been how we've changed a little bit how we've gone about things this week. Over the weekend and then the first few days of this week, just less swings, back to basics, really studying Central Connecticut a little bit and how we want to attack them, and just getting these guys built back up.
All right, Coach, before we let you get out of here, obviously you've been in a lot of postseason play at Arkansas and even at Nebraska before you arrived in Fayetteville. You've played at home, you've played on the road, you've been in all different types of environments. Just how big of a difference is it to have the regionals and even super regionals at home at Baumwalker Stadium in front of 10,000-plus Razorback fans? How big of a difference is that than just going on the road?
Well, I think the last few years we played really well at home, and there were a few years that we didn't play well at home. I don't know if we just didn't handle playing in front of our fans well or what. I remember in 2009, really the second half of the season, we were supposed to be really good. It wasn't going real good. It was tough playing in front of our fans, and we would go on the road and we'd play well, and at home it wasn't great, and we get sent to a regional at Oklahoma and won that thing, and Super Regional in Florida State won that thing. So that year, it was almost like, hey, on the road, we had a little something going. We're going to go take it to people on the road. But the last couple of years, I think playing at home has been really big for us, especially last year. We didn't win on the road last year. We'd win one out of three against really good teams. They're all ranked in the top 10 in conference play. But at home, we beat everybody. And this year, a little better on the road, and real good at home again. So I would say it's real important, especially for the way we finished the season on the road for 11 days straight, for us to get back and stay here and be in front of our fans and not have to travel, I think was really big. And I think we'll play with a lot of energy this week, and you never know how it's going to go, but that's just my gut feeling on it.
Hey, real quick, we got about 30 seconds. What are one or two things that your team won't enjoy as an amenity you normally have on a home weekend because it's NCAA rules and it's a quote-unquote neutral site?
You know, it used to be where you didn't even get to use the locker room if you started once the game started, which they've changed the rules. And, you know, you earn this right to host this by having a good season. And you used to have to switch dugouts all the time. Now, when we're playing, we get our dugout, which is the third base dugout, even though if we're the visitors, we still may be in the third base. So that's the thing. We actually get to go up and use our dugout or our locker room. So there's not a whole lot of difference. Maybe a little bit of parking issues, ticket issues, but other than that, it's not bad.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.